I think we're in a position now where we need to hang in there and we need to work together. But there's toes that we're stepping on, being that we're the small guys and we may be absorbed or just pushed to the side for big pharma.
Well, you know what? That's very interesting that you brought that up, because toes are everywhere. And it's become a real issue in the sense of legalization, meaning that we all were taught, hey, no, just say no to drugs. And you're listening to LA Miracle Cure. Now, I'm your host, Barbara. And as you know, we talk about all things cannabis. And man, do we have a jam-packed show for you. I had the pleasure of meeting some heroes, some warriors who are fighting the fight deep down in Los Angeles. I'm talking about the number one city in all of the world, where we all like to go for vacation, where we all like to feel like we're somebody, where we all like to go to Rodeo Drive. Well, guess what? There are people that have been living in LA for a long time. They're known as Angelenos. And prior to me coming to LA, I really didn't know what an Angeleno was. But it's been my mission to bring you some real Angelenos, heroes that are actually working with patients in Los Angeles with caregiving products. Anyway, enough said. Let me bring you my panel today. Okay, we're going to start with John. Welcome to LA Miracle Cure, John. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and tell us about what you do?
Hi, yes. My name is John. I've been in Los Angeles for most of my life since I was 12 years old. And for the past 20 years, I've been involved with the cannabis industry. I've seen things come and go, and with the current law changes now, there's a lot to be expected, exciting things in Los Angeles, and I'm happy to be part of that.
All right, Sherry, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, and how long have you been in LA?
Good morning, Barbara. Yes, my name is Sherry, and I've actually was born in Pasadena, and I have been a resident out this way my whole life. Full-on California LA girl. Oh, wow. And about 15 years ago, I started actually becoming a patient of cannabis, and I was a caretaker for my ex. And about 2 years ago, I really got connected with John. And since then, we've been on this massive fight to pretty much offer pain relief to the people.
Wow. And that's a big deal. Now, who else do we have here today? Is that you, Rose?
Yes, hi, I'm Rose. I was born and raised in LA, so I've been here all my life. I have been looking for something for pain relief for my parents, for myself. And when I met John, we knew we had something we had to do to get pain relief for people. I mean, the true reason why cannabis was, you know, the law passed here.
Right.
So that's why I'm here.
Right. Let's just really rephrase that. So in California, there was a vote. And in that vote, there was a movement that was created, a swell of sorts, of people who were receiving medicinal cannabis. And they were people who, John, tell us, who was really receiving medicinal cannabis? And what is that?
Well, medicinal cannabis is cannabis that's been extracted or grown under ideal conditions where we can eliminate things like pesticides, any type of thing that would harm the patient's back. So we want to make sure, this is why I'm so for the laws and the things that are here now. Some parts of it is wonderful for that purpose. So we can make sure that we have medicine that is medical grade. Because, as you know, there are plenty of growers out there, cultivators, that, and they don't all take the same approach to growing, I should say. And one of the best things with this law now, the cannabis, we can, if we get it to a level where we can maintain it and see and keep it clean, that's what we need here in Los Angeles.
That's a very interesting word you used. And, you know, I've noticed that word clean, you know, that goes through people who are more conscious, such as people who choose to be vegan or choose to abstain from certain eating habits. So, you know, LA, let's face it, is really at the forefront of a lot of these movements. Now, the movement, as I remember it, was when I first recognized that cancer patients, people that had gone, veterans suffering from PTSD, people who had HIV, because now I was from the Bay Area. And so we had, like in the 80s, we had like half of San Francisco passed away. It was horrible, the most creative from this thing called AIDS. And so we found that some of our friends, designers, models, musicians, were getting relief through using cannabis. And they were self-medicating. And this is kind of how it all started. Sherry, so what was your experience prior to the laws? I mean, people were sick and you had a topical and then you would see them. And give us an idea of how caregiving works.
Well, originally when I started caretaking, topicals weren't even an option. The only thing they had was actually flower, and that was pretty much it. And it did help tremendously with helping with pain for my ex. He went through several back surgeries, and he was using cannabis in place of having to take the pain pills.
Now, wait, and, let me ask you a question. You mean
yes.
Instead of opiates?
Yes.
In place of opiates.
Because in place of opiates. That actually was the whole reason why we started on the whole cannabis journey, was that the opiates were damaging his body and it was killing him. So we found that when we put him back on cannabis, he started actually getting more healthy and he was going through the surgery with a lot less pain.
I see. So Rose, why don't you tell us a little bit about your experience? You talked about your parents, and then you talked about yourself. So prior to, I guess, the legalization, we're talking 1995, right? 96.
Yes.
Were you involved with cannabis at that time, or were you abstaining from all drugs?
I was getting involved a little bit, and the funny thing, the person who involved me was my brother, who was a fire captain. And he said, Rose, this is what really works. And he showed me how to make old-fashioned oil. And it worked. The only thing is the smell was overpowering. So it would take my mom's pain away, but it would make her nauseous. And but it was much better than the pills that she was taking or the prescription pills that I was taking that were damaging my liver. I mean, at this point now, we only use the balms and we're off medications.
I see.
It's so incredible.
Do you think that has been like the fight, John? Do you think that cannabis is so controversial? We see it on the news every day in LA because of the fact that it's really the thing that possibly could become between the pharmaceutical companies and their profit. What do you think about that?
Absolutely, I do see it that way. From the experiencing now that I see prior to 2016 till now, the whole climate and landscape has changed. Topicals are pretty much eliminated out there now. If I do see some in some of the shops are just here, they're very sparse. It's here and there, and that's it. The reason being that I feel, this is my opinion, is only because I think that with the big corporations and the big pharma, they do recognize that this simple little plant can produce a lot of miracles out of it. So their way of, I think, of keeping the lid on everybody, not just LA, but as a whole, is that they have us in this mix right now where we're in the trenches here. And the manufacturers that produce bombs that work, I have many associates that produce things that work, but we can't get it into stores now on this side of the law because it's been dragging on for a long time in Los Angeles, as you know. And what I feel is that precludes people from getting to the relief they need. And, you know, time is of the essence here. Maybe not for us in this particular point in our lives, but there will be with someone you know and love, that time is of the essence, and they need that relief. If you can get them to move over from an RX, you know, to an RX alternative other side, other than the opiates and the things that are out there, I think that's where we need to go. But what that does is steps on a lot of toes. So you can take it for what I've said, but I think we're in a position now where we need to hang in there and we need to work together. But there's toes that we're stepping on, being that we're the small guys, and we may be absorbed or just pushed to the side for big pharma.
Well, you know what? That's very interesting that you brought that up, because toes are everywhere. And it's become a real issue in the sense of legalization, meaning that we all were taught, hey, no, just say no to drugs. And that includes cannabis. So cannabis, prior to it being known as cannabis, it used to be marijuana. And when it was marijuana, it was a you better not. Isn't that right, Rose? You know, I found it really interesting when you told me that you used to drug text your children because you didn't want them involved in marijuana. Isn't that correct?
Absolutely. You know, the media and the government had our brains so washed that we thought marijuana was like cocaine, was this drug that you were going to get addicted to. It was the commercials that marijuana fried your brain. I mean, it was ridiculous. So I actually drug tested my children to make sure that they weren't smoking it.
That's very interesting. But you know something? We parents have to intercede because, I mean, we're responsible for them. And we don't want them off track. And we're not really talking right now about kids who are out there, who are young adults choosing to go to college and that, using recreational marijuana or cannabis. What we're really discussing is the reason why it's legal, the reason why the voters amassed together and said, yes, make it available. It was made available for people who needed it for medicinal purposes. Isn't that right, Sherry? So you tell us a little bit about who the client is.
Well, the clients that we seem to be getting are actually people anywhere between 30 to 80. And what it is as we start getting older, our bodies start breaking down. Myself, in my early 30s, I started developing all this pain issues. And in my 40s, I actually figured out what it was. And I've had 3 surgeries in the last 2.5 years.
Wow. And so, you know, they only say that one surgery and one prescription, if you take it, we've discussed this several times. You guys out there listening can go to our archives on America Out Loud. You can check out LA Miracle Cure on the weekend, and you'll see a population of all of our shows. And there's one there by Dr. Frank, who is in Beverly Hills. And he talks about the fact that it just takes one prescription of opiates to addict a person to opiates from surgery. So, I mean, you don't get introduced to this on the street. You get this from your doctor. So, John, let me ask you this question. All right, so, okay, when you're thinking about helping someone with cancer, someone with AIDS, I mean, why do they have to have cannabis? Isn't there something else they can use?
Well, there may be. I'm not a doctor, never been trained as such, and I wouldn't know about pharmaceutical side. But from my experience with the patients that I've had over the past, of course, of 20-some-odd years, I've never seen any pharmaceutical drugs that actually, now I'm not talking about stem cell things and stuff like that. I'm talking about just pharmaceutical pills. You get a prescription to the doctors and it's supposed to have a miracle in a bottle. I've never seen anything that actually has even come close to what cannabis can do. Basically, I feel, you know, the pills that they prescribe to you is pretty much Band-Aids. It addresses the symptom. It doesn't address the underlying cause of what's going on in the person's body. So I believe cannabis, and it's also from my experience and many of others of my associates, we've seen things happen with cannabis where regular medicine or man-made medicine can't touch. And the miracles that have happened from it, from full remission, from no sign of anything of the illnesses left, and they've been addressing this with regular medicines through their doctors, maybe for the course of sometimes from 2 to 10 years, and they just keep going on the same track. Now, I don't know what it is in cannabis that makes it work, but I know there is something, and from my experience, and I'm sure everybody else that's in my space in this realm sees that, and we know that's where we need to put our concentration, That's what we need to have all our universities get all these great minds, these young minds to start researching. And we need that opened up immediately because, like I said, you know, prior, time is of the essence.
Absolutely. And you know what? I would agree. You know, that is what the holdup is. A lot of people really don't understand that it takes a drug, a pharmaceutical, let's say the purple pill, you know, that everybody takes. I'm not going to advertise it, but everybody knows what I'm talking about. And let's say you take that pill. By the time it gets to you and your doctor is writing a script for it, believe it or not, it's taken it over 10 years worth of clinical testing through clinical trials on humans, and then through psychological testing and blah, 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 to find out exactly what they tell you at the end of every commercial. Well, it might cause you a heart attack, it might cause you liver failure, and it might cause you to die. But you can take two and take two at night, and then we'll see if you'll be all right. So there's always these, side effects that can end your life as well, along with what you're doing in terms of fighting your illness. So, you know, we've got just a few more minutes for this segment. I want to know, John, what is a collective? Can you explain the philosophy of a collective? Because I really want to discuss that in our next segment.
Okay, great. As I've stated, I've been in this industry for actually 41 years. I started at a very young age in the cultivation side. Now, the collective is supposed to be a place where patients have safe access. So this way they can go to a place where they can get their counseling, they can have access to the meds without any, well, government is involved no matter what, but without any hassle. And that's what, when we passed the compassion, this one, we passed the latest laws, and these collectives are supposed to be a safe haven, a place where people can go to get their medicine. We see pharmacies scattered all around every city around the world, but a collective gets attention in the wrong way. But we need that for our patients. And so, but it's a place for safe access. And so people can come get their medicines and they can take care of their ailments.
Wow. Well, everybody, you are listening to LA Miracle Cure. We're trying something new. We're bringing you real on the ground, what I would consider heroes in Los Angeles. These are real people who are servicing a community that's been forgotten. That's the medicinal, medical, cannabis community. And so we're going to take a break. When we come right back, we're going to talk about what is the problem and why are the laws not protecting those people who need it the most. We'll be right back after these messages.
I'd like you to meet Dr. Bev, psychotherapist, grandmother, podcast, and talk radio host of Emotions Are Us on America Out Loud. You've seen a lot in your years in private practice. What is the one obstacle that people fear the most?
Asking for help in the midst of a crisis. Having the courage to call a professional when they don't know what to do, how to do.
Dr. Bev, we've seen a rise in street violence in cities everywhere around the world. What can we do to change this trajectory to keep our family and loved ones safe?
Make time to talk. Make time to encourage each other and listen. Listen. Don't judge. Listen.
Yeah, well said. Sometimes we don't do enough listening. Speaking of which, when we say on America Out Loud, let the silent voices be heard, how can we turn the tide of ignorance in the world today?
Stop listening to the fake news. Think for yourself. Actions. Actions speak louder than words. Follow the connected dots. If it acts like a duck, walk like a duck, it is a duck.
Well, with all the fake news and bad information out there, we call ourselves the alternative news choice. America Out Loud. Welcome to the new era in communications.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep, but it doesn't have to be that way. there haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
And so we're back. I'm here with John, Sherry, and Rose. They're all citizens in Los Angeles. And the interesting thing about them is they support the cannabis community. And I mean medicinal cannabis. And what they do best is provide manufactured products such as topical, such as things that interfere with pain and help patients that are dealing with pain issues that have cancer, that have AIDS, that have had surgeries. I mean, this is like what we need. Isn't that right, John? I mean, this is the answer to stop us from being an opioid overpowered society. Isn't that correct?
Absolutely correct, Barbara. You can see signs of it now. Even in the news, you see how they're opening that space up a little more. They're being a little bit more open that it's possible that maybe there might be something here for that. As you know, every pharmaceutical is jumping on the bandwagon now, and there's a reason why. Because there's some cure in there, or there's something in that in cannabis that's going to help them, and they see big money in it, and that's why it's going the way it's going right now.
So let me ask you, okay, so it used to be that you could grow 6 plants yourself. Now, mind you, you're sick, so you are not feeling your best, so you got to go out and garden, right? Mm-hmm. And then you've got to grow your plants, and then you've got to get the seeds first, right? So you've got to acquire some seeds, then you grow your plant, and then you have the plant, so that kind of leaves you to kind of one option, which is drying the plant and then maybe smoking that, which has its own problems. But what you were saying, Rose, is that you learned how to make an oil. Can we talk a little bit about this oil?
Sure. The oil was really bad. I mean, I'm a novice at this, and I actually went over across the street when Johnny was my neighbor to kind of get some tips from him. But the way I did it was good old-fashioned crock pot. You put the cannabis in there. You put your olive oil.
Secret. We don't want to give away your secrets.
No, this is old-fashioned way, and this is not my secret.
Okay.
And you cooked it for on low for 48 to 72 hours.
Wow.
But I mean, it was dark, green, smelly. I think my neighbors could smell it cooking.
Oh, they didn't.
But that's how desperate we were regarding pain relief.
Absolutely.
And not to have to go the opiate way. I mean, people are desperate looking for healthy ways to get rid of pain.
Right, because we have to remember this is a plant. And so,
yes.
Okay, so once you would, let's say, work it through this process, then you could put it on like a POTUS, because I can remember my mother using POTUSes and tinctures and all these kind of way of doing natural healing that she learned back in Oklahoma, you know, when people just didn't run off to the doctor. Is that right, Sherry?
Yes.
So, Sherry, how did you, as a person who was a patient and a caregiver, what was your favorite way to use or most potent? I mean, is it that you have to find that? You have to arrive at that? So you have to try various ways of getting there? Is that the dilemma?
Pretty much in the beginning, it was trying to, A, find the place you could go, B, hoping that they had stuff that was actually what they said it was, because a lot of times they will mark something as superior and it's actually inferior. Mm-hmm. And when you're in pain and you're looking for something, the last thing you And if you're willing, and they charge really high prices for this stuff, and it's frustrating. And, you know, sometimes you get a win, sometimes you don't, which is why I decided a couple of years ago that I wanted to go the topical route. And
now that's a very interesting point that you brought up, because we know finances are a barrier. They're a barrier to being able to move forward in many things, whether it be education, whether it be housing, and certainly in medical care. So are you telling me, because I feel like that, you know, cannabis is kind of expensive. I mean, it's more of an elitist program for trial and error. John, can you give us some information? I mean, what's the price like? I mean, is it really affordable for somebody who's sick and dying?
Well, I can give an example right now. Just to be clear, I want to clarify that I point people in the right direction, and that's what I do because from my experience. Now, I have a couple of patients right now going through a glioblastoma, which is the same thing that Kristen McCain passed away from. And the studies have come out right now. They've matched it to where cannabis or THC in conjunction with the interferon treatments helps eliminate, it helps the cancer cells commit suicide. So now the reason I'm saying that is the doctor is a pretty liberal doctor that's this patient's, a specialist. And he had mentioned, you know, you should seek his wife and him that you should seek out, you know, alternative medicine because you know how this disease is a fatal disease. There's nothing much out there you can, you know, do with a brain cancer. So upon that, hearing that, they did. I recommended certain things for them to get. They went to a collective, and they spent $1,200 for four bottles, and the total MGs in there, I believe, was 600 MGs. They even separated the THCA to the THC to the cannabinoids, broke it down to CBGs, however they wanted to do it. They already took away from full spectrum, but the fact that they paid this enormous amount of money for something that is very, I would say it's very simple to grow and make, it astounds me. So we're going to run into a problem where regular patients or real patients, true real patients that don't have the time to horse around and jump from one thing to another, they're going to pay through the nose to some of these places because of what the laws have done. And as Sherry stated, you don't know what you're really getting. So that part of the law I do like. When we have our testing, everything is regulated and standardized, but the prices have to come down. And right now I believe with the laws the way they are, it's out of range for a lot of patients. And I don't believe that's fair.
Okay, so out of range, we're talking, well, like I know I saw that there was recently a fire sale, like right around, let me step back just a moment. Okay, so collectives were in place. Patients were going to collectives. They were accessing their pain medications in whatever form, whether that was the flower where they smoke it, where they vape it, where they eat it, or whether they rub it on as a topical, kind of like a, what would you call a topical? Is more like a massage oil or cream or just something they put on. Tell me.
Or serum is what we've been referred to as a topical serum.
A serum, okay. All right, so that's how they were engaging this before. And then there were specialists that were behind the counter that also could say, this is what you need. Okay, so that went on for a while, and then here comes government. Well, we voted, yes, we wanted it legal for medicinal purposes, and recreational kind of came along with that, because there was a lot of enthusiasts, people that are smoking, that didn't want to go to jail for smoking, because they were self-medicating and enjoying the high and all the other things that they say that they enjoy, right? So now it became legal as of January 1st. So what changes did you see happen, John, immediately? For
prices. Prices jumped. Quality dropped because there were the way the laws are going with the licensing that's happening right now in California, everything has come to a standstill. Immediately on, you know, like this July 1st, when they had this, you know, we had the first half year to get this, for LA to get it, get it straight, and they extended to July 1st. Once that kicked in, I noticed across the board, every collective had less than maybe, they had maybe 20% of their stock, because they had to have things that were certified. They had to have a COA on it, which is a certificate that proves that this flower, what you have, is has been gone through testing, mm-hmm. and it's free of pesticide, free of any like phosphorus in the plant. So I noticed that immediately took an impact, because once that happened and the taxes kicked in, I noticed that everything pretty much doubled. Whereas before, you can go and buy medicine, like flowers, say, per se, just keep it down as simple as an eighth, a 3.5. It's anywhere from 30 to 50 bucks. Now, if you walk in the same store, even if it's the same thing, you've actually, it's almost double that.
Wow.
So,
but you know what you're getting? I mean, is there some benefit to this control, this quality control? I mean, or was it when you know a great guy, and he is your connection, you could always trust him for his sources? Which one is better?
Well, we're trying to achieve the good guy status at the stores now, so that people can walk in and trust who they're talking to, and know that the people behind the counter are not motivated, you know, by other means, other than just for the sheer, it's the mere, just to want to help the patient. They need to have that first and foremost. But as you know, with the prices going up, now, and as a business, what happens? You have there's overhead to be made. So now, things can get a little sideways, and I think that's what's happening now. The prices are completely out of range, and the medicine still isn't what it is. You know, because you can tell even if it's graded this, you know, it's supposed to be graded a certain way. You can just tell just by if you're a connoisseur or if you have experience with cannabis, you're going to know that it's sort of a game they're playing right now. We're just trying to get out from under this game. But it has taken away a lot of access to true patients, and it may put the business back into the underground. As you know, it has exploded in the underground because of laws and because of how long it's taken to come into effect and to get to the point where we need to get to.
Right. Okay. So let me ask you a question, Rose. All right. So you're a woman. You are beautiful woman. You live in an upscale neighborhood. You have your children are grown in college. I mean, what are you doing messing around with cannabis? I mean, what do people say when you say that, here, try this?
You know what? I come forward with them with such pride in the products that we carry. And after educating myself on what cannabis truly is, the true medicine that it is, that has been used for centuries. I get such a positive reaction. I mean, I talk to people in my church about it because I know it works. I know it's so much better than the alternative that's out there. And so I think it's up on how you talk to people about it and educate them. So I usually recommend for them to look at some documentaries and really educate themselves on this stuff. My parents are in their 80s, and my parents are 100% for it now, where they would have never, you couldn't even say the word marijuana in our household.
Isn't that interesting? But you know something? It's not marijuana anymore. I mean, talk about a facelift. Sherry, I mean, I have never seen a better makeover for something outside going from marijuana to cannabis. So why don't you tell me a little bit about, okay, so now what do you see the problem is with access?
Well, when it comes to the access, I'm noticing that first off, shops are closing off like crazy. Police officers are shutting them down. And a lot of different stores are no longer in existence.
Were those the better stores, do you think?
A lot of them were. There was a lot of really good stores that got hit just because of the fact that they carry cannabis. Mm. And it's frustrating that these people are getting hit while they're waiting for their permits.
Mm. So didn't they get a temporary license that would allow them to operate?
And ironically, even the temporary license doesn't necessarily hold any grade.
Mm. Okay, so what happens to you when you have products on the shelf that are for the medicinal community and you tell them to go to the stores where you have an arrangement and then they go there and then they get hit? What happens to your ability to connect with the client?
It goes down the drain. Well, not when it comes to the product. The client still loves the product, but now they're afraid to go to dispensaries.
So what we've created now, trying to make it legal, is more enthusiasts, recreational folk that want to connect with the plant and want to have their dabs and enjoy themselves recreationally. They have come to the forefront, and the people who really need it are at home in pain. Is that right, John? Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. That's what's happened. It's we're servicing that recreation over the medicinal. And this is what we started this for. This 1997 Compassion Act. This is for patients. This is a patient-driven industry. And it's sad to see that the recreation is taking the bigger limelight, the spotlight on this. And we're forgetting about the people. And the people are your parents, my parents, our cousins, our brothers that are sick. And they're not, maybe not sick today, but they will. Eventually something will happen. And right now we need to set this so we can get access to these things. You know, get to the collectives that are true for the purpose of medicinal, you know, the helping the medical patient. There's plenty of them opening up right now for recreation. And as you can hear in my voice, that I'm passionate about this. And what we're doing is we're ignoring, not us, but the general public now. All they're focusing is on the recreation, what it can do, how much party time, how I'm going to feel this and that. But they're not realizing this came to light because of real patients. The people like my friends and my associates that have fought 20 years to get these laws just to get them where they are now. You know, we're a little upset that we knew this was going to happen in 2016, because most of us didn't even want the law to pass, because we knew this would take it out of the hands of the patients who really need it. It's going to eliminate their true access to this medicine. And that's what I see right now, is there's a focus more on the recreation than there is on the medicinal, where it should be refocused back to.
Okay, so let me ask you this question, because I know you're on the ground and you're hands-on. Okay, give me three areas, each of you, that you feel would help manufacturing and edibles reach who it needs to reach and not be lost in the legalese of what's really going on. What are three things, John, you think need to change immediately?
Three things I feel needs to change immediately is there's not much, three things that you can really change, but there's the whole process has to change. What we need to see change is where shops can get their licenses much quicker. The state and city have to come together in a way to where we can have more shops opened up without eliminating only the certain, so many can have it. If you've been here pre-ICO, then you have first access. I strongly believe in the social equity program, which would actually open up and CERN, it would make this medicine available to the mass. So those are, I don't know if that's three, but those are the things that I would like to see changed immediately is that the CERN people and would get together with the people like us on the ground and make this thing really work for what it needs to is for the patient.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I'm not a lawmaker. I don't know what needs to be, but I know things like right there has to change. We've already changed the laws, but we need to meld them together now and marry it and make it come together, as opposed to right now, even in the trenches, we have shops. You know, like it's the people that are on the same side, or there's a push and tug there now too, which I feel was created because of these laws. So the government really needs to step in and actually make this a unison thing, and we need to work together now.
Okay, so Sherry, if you had, since you're on the ground there, you see what's happening, what three things would you change or do you think needs to change so that manufactured products can go forth beyond the shelves, people can connect with them, and they can have ease in a time of so much dis-ease?
Well, similar to John, I feel that a lot of the businesses that have been existing before all of this change, we should be the ones on top of the list, being approved and being allowed to get out to the community as the whole law projected. And I guess number two is it's frustrating trying to find medication for someone who is new to that system. I think it needs to become more accessible. And three, I feel that the people who are working in the industry really need to be more educated, because a lot of shops that you go into, you have a lot of teenage girls half dressed, and it's more of a pickup place almost. It's literally a pickup place, pick up your pot and go, versus the medical section where they show you, hey, oh, you got back problems here, why don't you try this? Have you thought about doing this? You know, it's...
And if they were to have something quite like that, where people who have just maybe become involved in this quagmire of pain, if you will, it would be like an upscale, like almost like a holistic kind of spa kind of place. And so you would have it would be more expensive, don't you think?
Not necessarily, mm-hmm. because I do feel that there is a way to cut price. The government I understand the government wants to make money off of it, but they also have to keep in mind that if people are going out and getting medically licensed, they're doing it for a reason. And, you know, right now we have doctors referring us hospice patients.
Wow.
They can't give what we give to the patient, but they can tell the patient, oh, call this nurse. She'll help you because we have a couple of nurses on staff.
Mm-hmm. So I'd like to ask you, Rose, and then we're going to break. What three things do you think could happen in the city of Los Angeles, which is much more progressive than the state of California, in the sense that they have the Measure M that covers Los Angeles that the voters voted for, which should have protected the patient? What do you think the three things are that would change it for edibles and manufactured products? Because those really are the ones that the patients use, particularly new patients, right?
Yes. Well, I think we need to be able to get it into patients' hands easier, not just dispensaries. I think that's the problem. When when you're really sick, you're going through chemo, then you have to get into your car and get somewhere, and then you're getting somewhere, and that person's not educated. Just like Sherry was saying, blood tenders need to be educated on what works for what, and there is no education for them. The other thing is I wish that doctors would be freer in being able to suggest cannabis without having to worry about their licenses. So I think those are the things that I feel are so important, is being able to get the medicine into people's hands for those who can't go into an actual dispensary.
Mm. Well, that's very interesting you brought up a doctor, because my dear friend, Dr. Armand Tillette, who went to jail for many years to federal prison for writing scripts for people who were suffering. He was groundbreaking in 1995 in Los Angeles with the dispensary concept and with the caregiver collective concept. And just a week before California went legal, he died himself. And so, you know, it's just a tragedy that he was never able to see legal access for the patients that he went to jail for. Oh, okay, you guys, we'll be right back. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the new LA, what John, Sherry, and Rose envision for the future. And we'll be right back after these messages.
America Out Loud. It's a groundbreaking news and lifestyle platform that requires top-tier analysts, strategic thinkers, and impressive commentators. I'd like you to meet Dennis Santiago. His expertise includes strategic warfare, asymmetric warfare, arms control, and global stability. He's a columnist and commentator on America Out Loud. Dennis, as a global stability analyst, how do we foster a more stable environment globally?
We need to foster respect among nations. We need to foster constructive engagement between nations. And we need to make the respect of the values of each nation an important thing for everyone.
Well said. How can America Out Loud bridge the gap and bring back trust to the people we serve?
There is a dire need in this country to have constructive discussions that bridge the gaps and isolation that have been created by things like the internet. This is an essential platform for making that happen.
Well, our goal is simple. It's to deliver an honest analysis and diverse opinions to keep you informed. All back at AmericaOutloud.com. International news, world events, or living a quality life. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
All right, and we're back. You're listening to LA Miracle Cure. John, so what is your vision for the future?
My vision, I would like to see, of course, is safe access. I would like to see not just places, how would you say it, the homeopathic shops. I like to see our product carried into more shops and at a price where it's available to the patients. And I would like to see the laws change to where the city can ease up on things and get licensing, on a fast track situation here. And because we have been horsing around for this whole past year already, we knew this was coming up. And so what I'd like to see in the future is patients be able to walk into the stores and pick up medicine and not have that stigma attached, where that recreation stigma. And that's really what I would like to see, that safe access where patients go in and it feels like a pharmacy, or even the shops that will service the other end, like holistic end. I like to see things like that, because this plant is a natural plant. It's not a pharmaceutical derived medicine.
Well, you know what? I think that's very interesting you would bring that up, because being that I'm from San Francisco, San Francisco has a thriving Chinatown, and it's a very interesting thing. Everybody makes a mecca over there to get some kind of root or herb. And I mean, you don't feel good unless you talk to the older gentleman in the back, you know, who's mixing everything, and he has all these glass shelves. I mean, it's a thing to see. And I think that when people come to Los Angeles, I think they're discriminating enough that when they're looking for something medicinally, something like that really needs to exist. Rose, what do you think about that? What do you think about that? Something more like an apothecary. What do you think about that kind of concept?
I think that's a wonderful concept.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's important to make people feel comfortable where they're being treated, where they're being able to go and get their medicine. I just think it's important for people not to feel like outsiders when they're seeking pain relief.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Sherry, in your expertise, I mean, over the years that you've been dealing with cannabis, do you think it's better to eat it, or do you think it's better to rub it on something, or do you think the combination of both? Or, I mean, how does a person get a prescription filled?
Well, actually, I think it depends on the patient. Some patients do better with edibles, some patients do better with topicals, and some patients do better smoking. a lot of that really depends on whatever ailment is bothering them. I know a lot of the patients that I work with usually deal with massive pain, and we also have a lot of cancer patients that we work with, as well as Parkinson's disease. So far, the topical that we work with, is it's just fantastic. It's done wonders to the community.
Okay. All right. I see. So, John, why don't you explain to me, what is the disconnect between LA City and this concept we're discussing right now?
I believe it's a wedge that's driven in by certain people that are in power. And I don't believe they did it on purpose. I believe it's a process where they're vetting out all the shops that were the mom and pop shops that did come up for the sole purpose of just making money. They didn't give a darn about the patient. And I believe that's where this all stems from. So we need to put this, it's long overdue. We need to fast track and get this licensing straightened up. And we need to see what the landscape, how everything settles, so we know what the make the right moves here. There's a lot of manufacturers out there that are A1 top-notch companies that are laying low, because either you're going to be absorbed by a big corporation, or you don't have a chance and it may get buried, or you just have to hope that the certain people that are listening that will make the correct changes and will fast track this, and because it's long overdue, and these patients they're leaving us by the loads, and then, like I said in the beginning, time is of the essence, and now we're playing a game with time and people's health.
Well, right, exactly. A game is what it feels like, I'm sure, if you're out there suffering. So, I mean, what do you think about this push for recreational? Is it a money thing? Is it that everybody wants to see people just free to be, which is okay, be free to be, this is America. But do you think that they feel that they would make more money off of recreational? Tell me about that, John.
I feel that the shops in the local areas will make more money on that. Of course, pharma will make the bigger money ultimately in the end here. But the things that I see that have prevented us from really moving forward is the law. There's no access for people to get to the medicine. And right now, like I've stated before during our conversation, the underground is taking care of that market. But it's not regulated with the testing, and that's where we have a big problem. So I am for recreation. When they went and passed the recreation laws, and they were folks in that, most of the healthcare providers and caregivers, we took that. We had to take it. It's like taking a bad bill. In order to move forward, we had to let that come along with it. But right now, the focus is too much on that. And the reason that's there, even for people who want records, is because the people that are sick, the people that have already lost their lives, that they couldn't get the medicine, or they're in the middle of trying to seek help. So they have to appreciate why they have the right, or why they have this law for them now that they can smoke freely. But we're forgetting about why the laws were there to begin with. They were for the patient, for the medical patient, for the person that had no alternative left, was told to go home, here, go take care of your affairs, good luck with that. And that's the problem.
Right.
So we have to take the medication with the medicinal. We had to take it with it, let it ride along with it.
Well, you know what I think is also interesting, too, is that they take out the portion of, I think the collective was more, I get to go talk to somebody about how I feel. And I'm not feeling well, and my family doesn't know what to do, and I get to leave the house. I get to go to a collective with other people suffering like myself, and I get to enjoy or try the various products so I can know what I want to purchase, know what works well for me, and then I feel better. But it's a social ramification that kind of puts that inclusion together that really is the human connection that is healing. And I think people forget about that all the time. So in closing, Rose, why don't you tell me, what do you think needs to happen? We got 2 minutes or less.
What I think needs to happen is the licensing drive half an hour, not having to search for it, and not being embarrassed that they're looking for it.
You know what? I would agree with that. You're absolutely right. Nobody wants to be embarrassed asking for this. Well, you know what? We've had a great time talking with you. We had an even better time understanding a little bit more about this thing that's happening here. John, Sherry, and Rose, would you come back and talk with us as times change? We'd love to have you friends of the show because we've learned so much about caregiving. Can we have a commitment of that?
Without a doubt.
Without a doubt, we're here. Thank you for helping us with this cause. And I love your platform. And thank you for being there, giving us an opportunity to voice.
Absolutely. Well, everybody, yes. You've been listening to LA Miracle Cure. I'm your host, Barbara, and we are on America Out Loud.